Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Billie Jean King.
This is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, our fifth daily Billie Jean King Cup Finals podcast from respectively Turin, Seville and Solihull. I'm in Turin, having had a fairly leisurely day, gearing up to what will be a very unleisurely day when the ATP Finals kicks off tomorrow. David's in Solihull, been doing all sorts today, including watching an awful lot of tennis. Matt has had an extremely unleisurely day in Seville, but mostly good, Matt?
Mostly good, yes. I started it at a sort of Apple store in Seville because I woke up and my phone hadn't charged and wasn't charging. And I felt that that was a situation that needed immediate attention. So I took myself off to the electronics store, brushed off my Spanish tech vocab, and got the guy to sort out my phone, and then came to the stadium for the tennis. So yes, busy day.
Didn't you go to an Apple store on one of your Spanish trips last year and were very pleased to get to dust off your Spanish vocab?
That was actually 2 years ago when my headphones stopped working. Yeah.
Right. So any
things seem to just go wrong when I'm in Spain.
I get very anxious about low batteries. If anybody's less than 60%, I feel a bit weird about it. People that don't have portable chargers, that freaks me out. How are you living life? And we are currently recording this podcast with me on a draining battery situation due to technological factors involving my laptop. So this could be fun, David.
It's exciting, isn't it? I can confirm, actually. I've sent the odd screenshot to Catherine over the years, and I've got a very angry message back about the state that I've allowed my charge to get into, or lack of charge.
I'm a bit funny about things running out. Like, I never let toothpaste or loo roll or anything run out, ever. Okay. I'll always have bought the next one.
Have you been in an electric car where you can see the battery power percentage that's left? I find that quite stressful.
Agreed. Yeah, I know that I will have an electric car eventually, but that element of it really freaks me out. I mean, I know we kind of have it with petrol.
Yeah, but it somehow seems worse when you get a figure.
It seems worse.
Yeah.
It seems worse, yeah. Anyway, these are my issues. I need for us to deep dive on them now. Let's talk Billie Jean King Cup Finals, because we know our finalists for 2023. It is to be Italy against Canada in the finals. Italy's path through rather more straightforward than Canada's. They got the better of Slovenia with 2-0. They didn't play the doubles because that really would have been dead as a dodo, absolutely playing for nothing. So they didn't play it. Hurrah. We're just on the come down from watching Canada's route through to the finals via the most decisive of decisive doubles rubbers with Leila Fernandez and Gabby Dabrowski of Canada taking on Barbora Krejcikova and Katerina Siniakova and doing the seemingly impossible, taking them down. And Matt, if there is an MVP from semi-finals day in Seville, it surely has to be Leila Fernandez.
Without doubt. Just an absolutely extraordinary performance, really, from her, you know, facing down the Czechs, the formidable Czechs, and knowing that she needs to win two matches because Canada are already 1-0 down, courtesy of Barbora Krejčíková's win. So in comes Leila Fernandez, and first of all, she's facing Markéta Vondroušová, who, as we discussed yesterday, had won 26 sets in a row in this competition and hadn't lost in it since her very first match. And she beat her. You know, we can go into more depth into that match, but that was an extraordinary performance in itself. Her first top 10 win since the 2021 US Open, where she had three top 10 wins in that tournament. She had been 0-8 since then against top 10 players. So a huge step up in performance. And then she goes and sort of is the standout player on the doubles court. And she's playing alongside a lot of standout doubles players, you know, Krejčíková and Siniaková. Their record speaks for themselves. I always say that Gabriela Dabrowski is my Luisa Stefani. She's just a player that I think is really good on the doubles court and is able to make a difference. But that player today was Leila Fernandez. The way she rose to the occasion tonight for Canada and the way she took over this tie was something very, very special indeed, and just an absolute joy to watch.
She's a force of nature, Leila Fernandez, certainly when she's in a mood like she's been in Seville all week. And I just, I love how unexpected that is. In this tiny little diminutive package, she is nothing but power. And she, you can sort of feel the aura around her and the way that she dominated both those matches, dominated the Wimbledon champion with this unbelievable record in the Billie Jean King Cup, dominated the doubles court with. I mean, look, Leila Fernandez is a really good doubles player. I think it can be overlooked how great a double season she's had alongside Taylor Townsend, but she's a singles player playing doubles with some success, and she certainly hasn't played with Gabby Dabrowski very much, whereas Katerina Siniaková and Barbora Krejčíková are sensational singles players and the most well-oiled doubles team on tour, pretty much. You know, they've been playing together since they were kids, literally. So for her to just muscle that day, today, and bend it to her will, I find just kind of magical. Really, I love Leila Fernandez. I really do.
And it makes you want more of her, doesn't it? Like, week to week, you want her to be a factor. She's on my wish list. You know, she's somebody I just want to be around and relevant all the time. I think today was one of the all-time great performances in a team competition in tennis. Just simple as that. To go and beat a player of Vondroušová's class and somebody who's got that 26 sets in a row record, and to withstand the comeback, you know, the winning the first set easily, second set very one-sided, then that game where she went love 40 up and Catherine, you messaged, oh my word, Vondroušová's just putting together a Sofia Kenin against, was it Garbiñe Muguruza at the Australian Open, run of points here. And then suddenly, Fernandez replied with an even greater run of points to hold that game.
And I realised, when I sent that message, I realised obviously you and I, David, are watching on a stream, whereas Matt's there in the stadium, and there was no reply from Matt when I sent that message. And obviously, after Leila Fernandez turned it around and went on to win that game, I realised that Matt was sitting there looking at my message thinking, ha, 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 she's got no idea what is about to come from Leila Fernandez.
I was sitting there in the future and knowing what Leila Fernandez was going to do. Would you like to hear Markéta Vondroušová's analysis of that game? Because
yes,
it really made me smile. You know, sometimes, you know, we can read a lot into tennis matches, and we all talk about tennis, you know, all the time and go deep with analysis. But sometimes you just need someone to say it kind of like a seven-year-old might say it. And that was Marketa Vondrosch for today. She said, Fernandez was smashing the ball so hard I couldn't do much. And I kind of just thought, yeah, that was it. Like the way Fernandez took over and played with such aggression in that match was what struck me. And I think it caught Vondrosch out. Like, I don't think she was expecting Fernandez to have that power and to be able to dominate quite so much. It really was an extraordinary performance.
And she is belting the ball, absolutely belting the ball, and on both wings as well. I mean, there was one particular backhand that, again, I texted about, knowing Matt would have really enjoyed it. A critical backhand down the line from Leila Fernandez in the second set tiebreak of the doubles. And yet Dabrowski didn't play badly overall in that doubles, but when the pressure was most on, she was the one that looked like she felt the pressure to most to be. And it was like Leila Fernandez just stepped up and said, it's okay, don't worry, I've got this. Which is, wow, I mean, she's quite something. And they kind of had to come back as well in the doubles, didn't they? Or sort of come back from behind. What's Mary Carrillo's expression?
Come back from ahead.
Come back from ahead. She had to come back from ahead, she and Dabrowski, because they had the break, didn't they, in the second set? They were setting a break and you're thinking, right, this is done. We were thinking about recording times, weren't we? We were sort of gearing to set up for the podcast. And then all of a sudden, the checks had broken back. They had the momentum. And I just thought, they don't give you another chance, these two. Once the match is in their hands, it's theirs. And by goodness me, Leila Fernandez had other ideas. You just don't mess with her when she's in that mood. Unbelievable. But it's a tough turnaround for them now, right? I know this is kind of unavoidable, but it is surely an incredible advantage for Italy to have finished their match so much earlier in the day, given that the final is played tomorrow.
Yeah. I think that is a factor tomorrow. I think there's the physical element of just, you know, that was a pretty grueling tie for Canada and they haven't got that much turnaround time at all. I still don't think they've been to press yet. And what is it, 11:30 p.m. local time? So it's going to be, you know, you'd have thought after all their recovery, they're not going to be asleep till, well, I would say at least 1:30 in the morning. And it's a 3 o'clock local time start tomorrow. So that is a quick turnaround for Canada, whereas Italy, you know, had the tie wrapped up by mid-afternoon today, early afternoon. So they've got a sort of full day's recovery. And then, of course, there's the mental and emotional drain of coming through such a close emotional tie like this. You know, I don't doubt Leila Fernandez for a moment in that sort of she can keep that going, but it'll be a tall order, and she's up against some Italians who really, really desperately want to win this as well. So, you know, it's a fascinating element to the final, even if I agree with you it's not ideal, you know, format wise that it does seem that one team has such a disadvantage in terms of recovery.
The emotional element is really interesting with Canada, isn't it? Because this is their first ever Billie Jean King Cup final, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of a summit mounted in itself, you know, and yet to not have any chance to really let that sink in or enjoy it or celebrate it because you have to refocus straight away. I think that's really, really tricky. Really tricky. David, what do you think?
I do, but Fernandez just makes me think anything's possible and that she's just going to ride the wave. I don't know whether she's going to bed tonight. She's just going to be psyching herself up for this final. I mean, I just have such faith in her in this competition. She was a brilliant player in that 2021 run to the US Open. She had that same kind of intensity then as she does now. I don't, I don't, I do find myself wondering where has she been? You know, I know she's had moments, but nothing consistent since then. And look, her game is maybe limited by her physical stature to some degree. And she has to be absolutely bang on it in order to hurt players enough. Maybe that's what it is. But I found it a bit of a downer. Obviously, it's been a huge downer that Emma Raducanu hasn't been able to follow that up because of injury and all the rest of it. But I did hope that Leila Fernandez would be more of a factor more often. But right now, right at this moment and these few days, she, I don't want to say is unbeatable, but she, I don't see anybody beating her. She's awesome.
I do. This doesn't account for all of the last 2 years, obviously, but she did have a pretty serious injury in bang smack in the middle of last year, didn't she? She played that French Open match. She was in great form in the French Open. I remember us getting excited about her again, and she played Coco Gauff, I want to say, at the French Open. She played somebody at the French Open and she was playing injured through most of it. She obviously lost. I don't know whether she actually ended up retiring, but it was certainly clear that she was suffering with this foot injury throughout, and it turned out to be a terrible injury. Her foot was in a boot and she was on the sidelines for a long time. So that rather torpedoed her 2022 season. I think Matt's just Googled it. How much of that have I misremembered, Matt?
Well, there's no Coco Gauff involved.
Right, okay. Who was she playing? No,
what I remember from that French Open was the year that they put the quote on the side of the stadium at Roland Garros, which is that slightly clunky one in English, which is victory belongs to the most tenacious. And I remember watching Leila Fernandez.
Opinâtre.
Exactly. And I remember watching Leila Fernandez beat Belinda Bencic at that French Open in three tight sets. And I remember, I think I tweeted, it would be so appropriate for Leila Fernandez to win the French Open when we're describing, you know, victory belonging to the most tenacious, because that's such a Leila Fernandez quality. She then went on to reach the quarterfinals of that French Open and interestingly lost to Martina Trevisan. And right. I was going to bring up a different match that she played against Martina Trevisan, which was at last year's Billie Jean King Cup finals. This was a group stage match, Canada versus Italy. And Fernandez beat Trevisan love and love in that group stage match. Oof. And then Fernandez and Dabrowski combined to win the doubles against Italy, 1-1. So, you know, Fernandez had played four sets and only dropped two games at the start of the Billie Jean King Cup finals last year. Obviously couldn't carry that forward. But sort of to go back to your point, I think you're absolutely right. I think Roland Garros, she was playing injured. She didn't play again last season until Toronto. So she sort of missed all the grass court swing and a bit of the hard court swing as well. And then it was a very sort of stunted schedule through to the end of the season as well.
Okay, well, Matt's memory shits on my memory. That's what we've learned there. Anyway.
Fairness, I am looking at the results.
That old thing about having facts and stats at his fingertips that you and I, Catherine, sometimes forget about.
Look, I've got a battery situation. I can't be wasting any extraneous battery on opening Chrome.
Well, exactly.
Okay, I've got Zoom open and that's it. And we're going to try and ride it out to the end. Let's talk about Italy then. Their 2-0 victory over Slovenia. I was able to watch quite a lot of the first match between Martina Trevisan and Kaya Juvan. However, I was watching it on mute because I was having to do other Turin-related things. And it was a really bizarre experience. I kept on texting you saying, what is going on, Matt? What is going on? Matt was sort of very politely trying to say, I'm trying to work, Catherine. I can't provide text commentary for you. Because they both seem to be having some sort of... They both seem to be struggling, be it emotionally or physically or both, one seeping into the other. Whatever it was, they both seemed to be having a bit of a breakdown down there. It was an extremely tough watch and I didn't know whether there was sort of something extraneous or external going on that I wasn't aware of, whether they were just suffering in the moment. Kai Juvan kept on having at the sit down, her captain kept on sort of massaging her arms, suggesting she was kind of having full body cramps or feeling stress very physically. And at the same chain of events, Martina Trevisan is crying. It was a lot, Matt, and that was with no sound. What was your experience of that match?
My experience was similar, that it was an ordeal, and I found it a real struggle to watch. Actually, it was not high quality tennis. Look, unforced errors is a subjective stat, and you know you can't always read too much into it. But the stats for this said that between them, over the two sets, they hit more than 100 unforced errors. And it did feel like that, you know, it was, there were quite a lot of good points, but they were always ending on errors, you know, and it was, you know, 7-6, 6-3, I think was the scoreline, but it was almost 2.5 hours. It was really extended and grueling. We got to hear from Trevisan afterwards, and she admitted, yes, look, the emotions were running extremely high today. She said she was very emotional on court. That was the reason why she was crying. It wasn't anything else. It was just pure emotion and pressure and stress sort of getting to her. And I think, you know, she knew she wasn't playing that well, and she knew it was a big match. And I think all of that was just a lot. And, you know, she sort of needed to let it out. So that was what was going on with Trevisan. We don't entirely know what was going on with Kai Juvan. She didn't come to press. Both players were lined up in the doubles nomination, so therefore they were going to come to press at the end of the tie. So we weren't going to have them come in during the tie. It was always going to be at the end. But at the end of the tie, it turned out that it was just the Slovenian captain and Tamara Zidanec. Kai Juvan was not there. I found that a slightly tricky dynamic for me there in the press conference, because I wanted to know, you know, if possible, for an update on sort of Kai Juvan. I was genuinely worried about her because she was shaking a lot during that match. She didn't look well. But then I didn't really know if it was anyone else's sort of place to sort of say how she was feeling. So I just sort of gently asked the captain for an update. And he said, she's okay. She's back at the hotel. She'll be fine tomorrow. Now, I thought that was a slightly strange thing to say, because sort of, how do we know how she'll be tomorrow? And I don't want to absolutely sort of speculate wildly on sort of what was going on. But I do think it's important to just know the context around Kai Juvan, and in particular Kai Juvan at this tournament. She has spoken pretty openly about the fact that her father died last year from cancer in December. The last match he saw her play was a Billie Jean King Cup playoff this time of year against China. And Kai Juvan has said, you know, it's a lot for me to be playing these team competitions. You know, I love them. There's a great aspect to them. But there's kind of a heaviness, I suppose. And every time she steps on the court, she sort of feels it. And look, I don't want to say that was what was happening today, but I think that's just sort of important context to have on Kai Juvan when she's out there in a huge match like that. And that may explain some of what we saw. Really feel for her.
Thanks, Matt. That's didn't know that. And that's I knew about her father, but that's important to know. Second match, David, Jasmine Paolini. If there's a second MVP, it's Jasmine bloody Paolini, isn't it? Hey, if there's an MVP for the week, she's unbeaten, right, Matt?
Yeah,
both Italian singles players unbeaten.
Right, yeah. She is unbeatable, David.
No.
For at least another 12 hours.
Fernandez has gone unbeaten as well, though, right? She hasn't lost yet.
Yeah, something's got to give.
I was going to say, here I am saying that Fernandez has produced one of the all-time great performances, and by association, I'm doing down Jasmine Paolini again because she's just, you know, the backup, the understudy. Now, listen, she's amazing. What she's doing is rubbing my face in it, and I couldn't be happier for her because she is just going out there and taking these matches. And she had to withstand a lot in that match from everything that I've seen. I didn't get to watch all the match myself, but I heard that, I mean, after it went one set all, she was behind in that decider, and she had to turn that around. And I love it. Now, remind me, what's the order then for tomorrow? Would she play Fernandez? Is it Trevisan mm-hmm. who would play Fernandez?
No, so Trevisan will be the number two and Paolini will be the number one. So it will be Paolini, Fernandez.
I mean, that is a...
She's the number one, David, of course.
Of course she is. I mean, that is...
Get used to this new reality that you're living in.
That is a draw that I can... A matchup that I can get excited for because... Of how you're going to love it, Catherine. I mean, you should take day off your ATP finals and just watch that because that is intensity list heaven for you. That
I know. Oh. I know. I'm gonna find a screen, not my laptop screen because I think it'll be dead by then. But I'll find another screen to watch on.
No, I think it's going to be good. She's fun. She's a fun time to watch. Actually, I mean, she doesn't have a massive game, and I always think it's limited, because hence why I said she's a good draw, but she's just got so much more to her as a human being than that she just makes it work.
There's a good line that Paolini was in the stands as a fan the last time Italy won the Billie Jean King Cup, which was 10 years ago. They were at home in the final, and it was the team of Vinci, Irani, and Panetta, and they beat Russia, I believe, in that final. And yeah, Jasmine Paolini was in the stands, I think, as a teenager.
Wow.
And now here she is 10 years later playing in the final. And I think what's interesting about the Italian team is that every single one of them has this year reached their career high singles ranking. That's Bronzetti, Trevisan, Cocchioretto, Stefanini, and Paolini. They've all reached their career high at some point in 2023. And, you know, it's not been huge heights. You know, I think Trevisan maybe has been ranked the highest. But it's just indicative of a group of players who are sort of all in form, all playing well, all on the rise. And it's kind of what happens. Like, you've got to make the most of those times where everyone in your team seems to be sort of coming together and playing well. And they've certainly done that. It's going to be very hard because they're up against, as we said, Leila Fernandez and all that she brings. But you cannot write this Italy team off. There's an incredible spirit to them.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
And the good news for neutrals is it looks to me like there's a very good chance that this will go to the doubles. As brilliant as Paolini's been, Fernandez is the heavy favourite there, I think. I mean, I feel like you, David, I'd back it to be pretty much anyone at the moment. All due respect to Marina Stakusic, she's had a fantastic week, but she will be heavy underdog against, I assume, Martina Trevisan, which means that, yeah, doubles very likely will come into play. And again, I think Canada will be in the will be the favourites in that doubles. But imagining what the tension in the atmosphere will be like, it really will be a anything can happen situation. Which for people that just want to see good tennis and drama and intensity, bodes very well, I think.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that there could be a team change for Canada and Eugenie Bouchard just gets brought in for a big match purpose?
Professional pickleball player Jeannie Bouchard.
Grand Slam finalist Eugenie Bouchard. I just think back to when she beat Maria Sharapova. You know what I mean? That match in Stuttgart, I think it was, when she was coming back from the ban, and she just
quite a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, but she'd got no form, and then suddenly she found a reason to just elevate. And the other thing is, that was a real hammering that she took today. I mean, what was it, 2-1, something like that? Against
Stakusic,
yeah. A very good player who's beaten her there. You know, you would expect that, I suppose, on paper. But still, that... Do you want to give her the go tomorrow? I mean, she's had a couple of great results, or do you just want to go a different direction altogether?
There's not much to lose, is there, by throwing in a bit of a curveball? You know, because if you're likely to lose that match anyway, you know, then maybe trying to get in the Italians' heads and get, you know, do something unexpected, that might be helpful, I suppose. So I think I wouldn't completely rule it out, but
she won't freeze, will she, Bouchard? I mean, she might not be good enough anymore, and she might be too out of touch and all the rest of it, and she hasn't shown form for a long time. But she is a kind of a big match player in as much as she'll just love the spotlight and the moment, I would have thought.
She has. I'm just looking through her results for this year. A lot of it not at tour level. There's quite a lot of ITF level stuff in there. I mean, look, there's some bad results in here. There's a lot of first round losses, a lot of qualifying losses. She's beaten Kai Yuvan this year. She's beaten Kim Birrell. This was sort of earlier on in the year. We're talking May, June. The Kai Yuvan victory was on clay. She qualified for Madrid. Beat Elizabeth Mandlik, beat Sara Cerebes. Oh no, Sara Cerebes, that was a retirement. Let's not count that. She beat Diana Ostrzemska in Madrid.
Of course.
Lost to Trevisan.
The one that sparked the tweet.
Yeah. Lost to Trevisan pretty heavily, but that's Madrid. It's clay. Yeah. I perhaps was a bit dismissive there, David. It is nothing to lose. You know she'll handle the occasion.
Rebecca Marino
maybe.
Is the other player, isn't it?
Would be fun. I'd probably go Marino.
Marino's
over Bouchard.
Got the big game, but I just feel like Bouchard, if you want to roll the dice on somebody who's going to take it, really like be in the face of her opponent. I mean, crikey, I tell you what, Trevisan as well. I mean, I think Trevisan's probably just too good for her these days. But those two going head to head, I think would be fun. And I just think Kusic today was so far off. I mean, she'd have to play the sort of match she played on those first couple of days. And I just think that's unlikely, really.
Do you think if Jeannie Bouchard got picked, played, won, helped Canada to win the Billie Jean King Cup for the first time in its history, do you think she'd give up pickleball?
No.
No, I don't.
Because pickleball's the cash cow.
I don't really understand Eugenie Bouchard, to be honest. I mean, when I think of her career and the trajectory, I mean, it's gone. She came on the scene. She had that incredible year where she reached, I think, was it three semifinals? Two semifinals at a Grand Slam and a final in the same year. I mean, it's pretty astonishing, yeah, Isn't it? It was Australia, French Open, then she reached the Wimbledon final, loses that one to Petra Kvitova. And then she kind of just dropped dramatically. And then she had that accident in the US Open when she slipped and she had the concussion, and she was really not the same for quite a long time after that, and that whole court case. And I don't know. And since then, she's not really been relevant in tennis at all, other than to just occasionally just start having massive blow-ups with people. Sharapova, Yastremska. Going off to play pickleball, and she doesn't... Is she not very good? Is after all, like, when she've had that one season and she just got found out, is that what happened? Or did she... I don't know. I always wonder, why did she just completely disappear as a force in tennis? She hasn't disappeared off, you know, the radar, because she's got a big following and posts a lot, I suppose. But I just feel a bit confused by her career.
Yeah, you and the rest of the tennis world, I think, David. So what's going to happen tomorrow, Matt?
Canada are going to do it. I think they're going to be, for, you know, a couple of weeks at least, the reigning Davis Cup and Billie Jean King Cup champions. I believe in the power of Leila Fernandez.
Would be fun.
So do you think they'll get it done in the doubles? In the doubles, you think?
I think so. I think Trevisan will win the opening singles for Italy, and I think Canada will have to do what they did tonight.
Mm. I'm excited.
Okay. Me too. Turin kicks off tomorrow. Well, it starts with the doubles, of course, the top seeds, Ivan Dodig and Austin Krajicek, up against Maximo Gonzalez and Andres Molteni. They are the seventh seeds from Argentina, I believe. Then it's the first singles match of the day. Jannik Sinner against Stefanos Tsitsipas is the scheduled match. But there are rumours swirling that Stefanos Tsitsipas might not be able to play. He's had to curtail practice both the last 2 days with a shoulder injury. Yeah, it doesn't look brilliant for him. If he's able to play, it doesn't sound like he'll be fully fit to play at his top level. So that's an injury he's been struggling with all year, isn't it? So watch this space for that one. The night session starts with the double, Santiago Gonzalez and Edouard Roger Vasselin against Marcel Granollers and Horacio Zaballos, the fourth seeds against the fifth seeds. And then it's Holger Rune against Novak Djokovic, which is a pretty cool night session singles match to kick things off with. Did everybody see the lovely, wholesome content today of Daniil Medvedev's daughter catching sight of the enormous poster of her dad?
No.
Backstage in Turin. Oh, it really warmed my heart. She's toddling down a big corridor, and she turns to her right and she realizes it's a sort of 8 foot high poster of her dad's face. And she just gazes at it in bemusement and wonderment, and it's lovely. And yeah, she's an adorable baby, isn't she? But she has Daniil Medvedev's actual face.
Yeah.
It's really
you know exactly whose daughter it is. No question about it.
Yeah, it turns out Daniil Medvedev has the face of a really cute female baby.
Maybe she thought she was looking at an 8-foot-tall photo of herself then.
Maybe. It's all over social media if you want to find that video. I'll post it on our Instagram stories. It's lovely stuff. We'll be back tomorrow with one last Billie Jean King Cup Finals Daily podcast. We'll also tell you about what's happened on day one in Turin. Then we'll have a few days off, but don't worry, we'll be back mid next week to wrap the group stages from Turin and look ahead to the semis and finals. And then Matt will be off to Malaga. Don't think about it yet, Matt. You've got enough time to wash your pants in between. That's all
I
that
need
matters.
It.
Right, that's it for today, I think. How much battery have I got left? I'm not red yet. I'm 28%. We could keep going if you like.
Let's go to bed.
Well, we may need that 28% for tomorrow's podcast.
Oh, I'm hoping to get some charge in the bag before then, Matt.
I didn't know how dire the situation was.
Well, right now it's pretty dire, but I intend to address it.
Great.
But if you don't hear me on tomorrow's podcast, folks, you do know why. But that's it for today. We have our mascots, of course. We've just done our picks for next week. I've got Maisie. We've gone... Well, no, I won't reveal who we've gone.
I've got Maisie.
How rogue have we gone? Oh, no, it's all going...
Don't you try and take Maisie off me. Matt took my last one.
I've got Xenia. Maisie definitely wouldn't swap you for me.
Correct.
And
Maisie's
Darwin
very
wants
happy
David
top of the league.
Desperately.
Anyway, Xenia, you lumbered with me. And I'm trying to think how... We've gone medium rogue for the winner in Turin. Medium rogue, I would say. Sign up to the newsletter if you want to find out what medium rogue means. Matt has got Darwin.
Hmm.
How rogue have you gone?
Given your definition, I would say medium rogue.
Medium rogue. Okay.
I've gone properly rogue.
Yeah, David's gone properly rogue.
Get on that newsletter,
Billie
folks.
Billie Jean is sponsored by Billie Jean King, who watched, I think, every single tennis ball that was hit today in Seville. She was dancing. I mean, it's just, what a woman. Joyful.
Looked rather happier than her namesake about tennis, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably true. she and Alana Kloss sponsor Billie Jean Canine. We have our top folks and executive producers. Matt, don't worry. I'm saying it the normal way. Jamie, Hannah, and Drew.
Phew.
And we have shout outs.
We have Justine Young in the New Forest.
Oh.
Like Donald Young.
Yes.
Indeed. Like Justine Henin.
Justine Henin. Once we went on a family holiday to the New Forest once when I was very little, 4 or 5.
I went when I was 12. We might have been there at the same time. Oh, no, that doesn't quite work.
No.
There's a bigger age gap. I forgot.
It was a good thought.
When I was 12, you were -1.
What I remember about that holiday is that they had an outdoor pool, but that sort of had a conservatory on top of it. So it was like, is it indoor? Is it outdoor? Who can say? And it had a glass sliding door into the pool. And as I slid the sliding door open, a worm fell on my head, sort of dropped down. It was dislodged by the sliding of the door. And... plopped onto my head.
Of course it did.
And it was an absolutely terrible moment that I still remember to this day.
Anyway,
thank you, Justine.
Folks. I mean, that is obviously bad and traumatic, but I for some reason, I thought you were going to say something much worse involving the glass element of the door. So I was quite...
No.
I was quite relieved, actually, when you said a worm fell on your head. But I'm sorry that... That sounds bad.
You would freak the hell out as an adult if that happened to you.
Matt, if it happened to you, something would happen badly with the glass thereafter, is my prediction.
Listen, that's entirely fair. Yeah.
Thank you, Justine.
I should say, Justine said a lovely message that her husband and I started playing tennis during COVID, and they became addicted to playing and watching and started listening to the podcast. And the shout-out and subscription to be a friend for Justine was a birthday gift from her husband, Russell. So I thought that was rather lovely.
Really lovely. Thank you, Justine, and thank you, Russell.
We've also got Felipe Gonçalves from Lisbon, Portugal.
Whoa.
Hello.
He is a professional swimmer.
Felipe. Is he now?
A professional swimmer, but tennis obsessed. Felipe, I've said Gonçalves because I think that's how it's pronounced in Portuguese, but it looks like Gonçalves.
Can't help you. But delighted.
Gonçalves with a C.
Yeah, with a C with a...
No,
cedilla.
I'm a labour and public economist focusing on policing, crime and education. I've got the wrong guy.
Like Felipe Volandri.
Yes. Is it Felipe with an F or a PH?
It's F-I-L-I-P-E.
Oh, okay.
I think I've done a very good job. Anyway.
Gonçalves with a C.
Is it not Filippo Volandri?
Oh, God. Is it?
I think it is.
Oh, I'm so pleased. It's late, folks. Anyway, Felipe. Delighted.
I really want to Google him, but I haven't got the battery. Okay.
Delighted. Your dad's not going to be happy with this podcast ending, is he? Too much giggling. Nope. But Felipe, delighted to have you as a friend.
Yes, thank you, Felipe.
Next up, we've got Rachel, Nick and Winston the dog.
Oh,
they're in...
Hello, Rachel, Nick and Winston the dog.
They're in London and their little... give us more information about you if you want, is Nick once held the door open for David at Queen's, but completely bottled it when it came to saying huge fan of the pod.
Oh, Nick. And that's my favourite thing to be said to me.
It is.
If you want to see me beam, you say that and I'll be very happy. Cheers, Nick.
Aww.
Top man. And all your family.
Thank you, Nick, Rachel and Winston. Thank you. Any more details about Winston?
Winston often barks along with Billie Jean.
Oh, love that. It's like they're friends and they don't know it. Mm. Lovely stuff.
And finally, we have Alex Tresedern in London. And you do know Alex. Alex says... I got the selfie with Alcaraz at Wimbledon with me and my mate Dan in our In the Mix / On the Boat shirt. We also beard you up for your first live Wimbledon show.
Legend.
Legend.
Alex, honest to God, legend.
I enjoyed that beer so much that night.
I was going to say I enjoyed that photo so much.
Yeah, it's a close call between the two. Yeah, all of it. Cheers, Alex.
Yeah, I'm lost for words, Alex, actually. You have contributed so much to the podcast this year, and we are incredibly grateful. That picture is so epic, as were the beers. So thank you. Thank you very much for both those things and for being a friend, a shout-out friend of the pod. That concludes the giggling portion of the show. Sorry, Dad, once again.
He's turned off by now.
We'll be back tomorrow. He definitely has. We'll be back tomorrow for more. And we can't wait. We'll speak to you then.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itsinas.
Kayla Itsinas. I'm Kayla Itsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.